relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
But given what we know about the changing climate, given that we've seen an increase in these so-called extraordinary tides and the impact that that can have in areas like South Florida, do you think that climate could have played a role in that building's collapse?
Well, obviously, we don't know fully, but we do know that the seas are rising. I mean, we know that we're losing inches and inches of beaches, not just in Florida, but all around. Lake Michigan, where I'm from, we've seen the loss of beaches because the waters are rising.
Truly, truly remarkable. That is the Biden cabinet member, Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, saying that climate change, the weather, may be responsible for the deaths of at least 100 people, or hopefully they're still just missing, in a building collapse in Miami. That is the level of alternative universe we find ourselves living in. Let's talk to somebody who lives in the real world. He's a presidential historian, financier, author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America, and our good friend, regular guest here on America First, Lord Conrad Black. Welcome back.
Thank you, Sebastian. I'm afraid that as a Canadian, I must take some responsibility for Governor Granholm. She was from Canada originally. And yes. I'm afraid that the cold weather must have got to her in her youth to come up with nonsense like that.
But really, I mean, a pundit on television, maybe, who's just trying to gain attention, but a cabinet member, it truly does beg a belief, does it not?
It does. But look, Bernie Sanders, every storm that came up for years, he said, it's global warming, as if we never had tropical storms before, you know?
Right.
And what Jennifer Granholm said is rubbish. The water level isn't rising. I mean, according to those people, Venice would be underwater by now. The country of Tuvalu, an island out in the Pacific, that would be underwater. Their water levels haven't changed at all.
No.
It's just a load of codswallop. I mean, odd things are happening, but the answer is intensified research, not throwing everybody in the oil business out of work because we think we'll stave off the end of the universe by putting up windmills and solar panels, so we buy from the Chinese.
And codswallop is the right word for it. And you mentioned the word Chinese. Let's talk about your latest piece. I have enjoyed it immensely at one of our favorite websites, American Greatness, amgreatness.com. We're posting it right now. Very simple title, and it's a very factual one, China versus America. Personally, my journey on this topic was thanks to my time in the White House. I went in as a counterterrorism bod, working that issue for years as a civil servant in the Defense Department. But I realized once I was in there, once I had the clearances, read the intelligence, that we can deal with ISIS, we can contain Russia, North Korea, even Iran. But the only strategic threat we face is China. And let me just open with the first sentence from your piece. The longer the West placates China and pretends that it is not being aggressively challenged by China and is currently losing that challenge, the more the future of the West will be in doubt. Will you talk to us from your perspective as an observer of presidential administrations, how the disequilibrium has been affected by the last 5 months of the new administration?
Well, it really started with, and I have to, as I have done before, give the Chinese credit for improvisation. I do not believe that they deliberately propagated the coronavirus knowing that it would kill a lot of their own people. I think it escaped from that laboratory in Wuhan. But as soon as they saw what they had, they cracked down on it as only a totalitarian country can domestically, but misled the rest of the world about the extent and communicability of it and the effects of it, and did absolutely nothing to restrict its transmission to all the rest of the world from, you know, just normal travel out of China. And they must have calculated that it would cause absolute mayhem in the West, but they cannot have imagined that their great rival in the West, all of the major Western countries, would shut themselves down conveniently, take themselves out of the competitive economic marketplace for the better part of a year, and as a bonanza, bonus, evict, albeit by questionable electoral methods, but that's no account to the Chinese, the one person in the world who was really pointing out that China was a challenge. And President Trump was not saying they're wicked people, they're evil people. He wasn't making racial comments about them. He was just saying they are challenging the West. They're not living up to their commitments as trading partners or in monetary policy. And they're just picking our pockets and running roughshod over some of the neighboring states. And we've got to do something about it. And they were, of course, sort of the puppet master behind the North Koreans all these years, purporting to agree with us that North Korea was a danger, while in fact facilitating its antics. And we all wanted to believe that if we just treated them nicely, they would behave nicely. And ultimately, that will be true if you know when to stand up to them. But it's the lesson of appeasement. I'm not comparing the Xi Jinping government to Hitler's Reich. I'm not doing that, and it would be outrageous to do it. But there are some similarities in that it is a rising power flexing its muscles, and it'll take what it can get until it meets a wall of containment, as Stalin did, and a very intelligent policy set up by the Truman administration.
Yes.
To contain the Soviet threat. And ultimately, as we all know, as all the world knows, the Soviet Union disintegrated, international communism collapsed without a shot being fired in anger between the superpowers. Well, I don't think it'll come to that. I think the Chinese are more sophisticated than that. And it's a much less severe regime than Stalin's was, too. But I think the principle of avoiding appeasement of a formidable challenger while he is challenging is the lesson, the relevant lesson of great power relations on that subject, and we're still doing it. And we have in effect rewarded their outrageous conduct, which could be construed as bacteriological warfare, negligence in public health terms to the extent that it could be so described, and not really rubbing their nose in that fact and making it clear that it absolutely cannot happen again and there will be grave repercussions if anything like that happens again. We're in effect inviting them to, you know, double down on the successes they've had. It worked the first time. Why not another time?
Yes, and in your piece for American Greatness, you put this strategic challenge in the context, or you compare it with Wilhelmine Germany, with the Third Reich, and the Stalinist regime of the Soviet Union. But you say it's not the same. What is the most significant difference that should affect our policy and the West's policy to this strategic threat?
Well, with Kaiser Wilhelm, we were dealing with a man who had much more power than judgment. I don't think he was an evil man. He was just reckless and had a childish ego and didn't have the faintest idea what he was getting into and what he was plunging all Europe into. With Hitler, we were dealing with a psychopath and, in his way, a romantic mind with to an extent of fantasies and genocidal ambitions. I mean, he was a wicked, evil man, and he liked war. he enjoyed World War One. He went through all 4 years of it. He was wounded. He was gassed. He was decorated for bravery as a corporal. He wasn't sitting behind the lines miles from the front. He was a runner right in the front lines, and he liked war. And that was what we were dealing with. And the only way we could have stopped him would have been if in the 30s the other countries had all joined together to make it clear that he couldn't win a war if he started it. And that only became the fact after he impetuously declared war. First, he launched an aggressive war against the Soviet Union, and then he declared war on the United States after Pearl Harbor, even though he didn't have to. And, the consequences, as we all know, was the complete destruction of Europe yet again. In the case of Stalin, he was a much more rational person in terms of how he dealt with other world powers. He never launched an aggressive war other than the limited war he launched against Finland, which was not terribly risky for him. He was always trying to stir up revolutions and strangle places that were vulnerable, like West Berlin, for example.
Yes.
But he knew not to challenge the United States. I'm sure that China is more. There's nothing Wilhelmic about China.
We will discuss what to do next about this still strategic but different kind of threat with Lord Conrad Black, co-host of the podcast Sense and Intelligence. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Are you in pain? Have you tried everything else only to fail to find relief? Then you've got to try Relief Factor. Just listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That should be you, my dear friend. That could be you, but there's only one way to find out, but it's super simple. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Find out today. You deserve to know. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
So let me say here that in front of the Chinese side, the United States does not have the qualification to say that it wants to speak to China from a position of strength.
It's incredible, absolutely stunning, the so-called China-US summit in Anchorage, where our chief diplomat talks pablum for a few minutes and then gets read the riot act for 20 minutes by the chief communist diplomat using Democrat talking points about Black Lives Matter, racial tension, and then saying very clearly, you do not have a position of strength to lecture us. That's what we are analyzing with the author of the latest article, China versus America. He is Lord Conrad Black. Lord Black, that doesn't sound like a nation that is going to stay in its box to me.
It's a nation that is showing the world its contempt for the rival it is challenging.
Yeah.
They don't care what Secretary Blinken thinks of anything. They were doing that as a statement to the world that we do not have to accept or take seriously complaints from the United States anymore. We are surpassing them, and we are the future, and they're the past. That's what it said. We were talking earlier about Imperial Germany,
yes,
Nazi Germany, and Soviet Union. The Chinese are much more sophisticated, I think, than any of those, but not insane as Hitler clearly was and Stalin substantially was. But the broadly speaking, the position is the same. You have the leading power, and any country that gets up at all close to it and imagines that it's the alternative leading power gets these strange fantasies about how easy it will be to surpass it. And with the most innocuous example we saw of it was with Japan. We're not challenging the military level, but you'll recall about 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, they were an extremely serious economic challenger to the United States. And then they sort of abruptly collapsed. But there was that occasion when President Bush, the elder President Bush, went to Tokyo, and the Prime Minister greeted him in condescending words, not insulting, as the Chinese Foreign Minister was to Secretary Blinken, but condescending.
Yeah.
That these are not good times for you, you know. And then, you know, we all know what happened. The Japanese misplayed it. They became overextended economically, and they had a very prolonged recession. And there's not been a word about a Japanese threat to the Americans economically since then.
No.
So China's oversimplifying it. And the only basis on which China, in my opinion, ultimately could pose a really dangerous challenge to American paramountcy, let's say, preeminence, is if we drive the Russians into the arms of the Chinese and they effectively rent out the resources of Siberia that they've never been able to tap themselves and allow surplus Chinese manpower to exploit it. China is not a rich country, but if it had the resources of Siberia, it would be a very serious geopolitical counter to the U.S.
Correct. We're talking to Lord Conrad Black, author of A Matter of Principle, Richard M. Nixon, A Life in Full, and Franklin D. Roosevelt, Champion of Freedom. Lord Black, I tend to subscribe to your theory or your analysis of what happened in China. It wasn't a deliberate leak, but it was something that got out of the lab. Then they exploited that to the nth degree, seeding the world, allowing infected Chinese to travel to Europe and elsewhere. What is your response to those mostly conservative commentators and sinologists who say that this, looking at the domestic ramifications for China, could be their Chernobyl? Is that overselling the way the Chinese have reacted as a party to that occurrence?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Chernobyl was declared to be a catastrophe. You know, the Russian word katastrophe became well known in the West. But in fact, it wasn't. I mean, it was a meltdown. But as I recall, the actual human damage was not very serious, was it? It was very worrying. But in fact, the crisis was managed and the facility was shut down without significant damage to the population. Am I not correct in that?
Well, they were evacuated. There was several hundred who were killed, and then the long-term damage is still hard to assess, but they did evacuate such a large territory that, you know, there simply was a desert created, so people weren't there to be irradiated.
Yeah, it was a terribly serious threat, but the actual damage was not that great to the USSR. It imploded and fell like a souffle for reasons having nothing to do with that. So I don't think we should be complacently patting ourselves on the back here that the Chinese made this terrible mistake. I mean, as I understand it, and I'm no virologist, but accidents like that do happen sometimes. And they obviously should have taken greater precautions. It wasn't an absolutely scandalous or unprecedented mismanagement of things, but they did. I think we have to give them full marks for improvisation.
Yeah.
I mean, they brutally suppressed the illness within China, and they used it as a weapon with which they basically sent the rest of the world home to their, you know, to their bedrooms to go to bed and pull the covers over their head for a year. Well, the Chinese march on us economically.
And to those who say, what with COVID, with the labor camps, with the treatment of the Uyghurs, we just shouldn't be doing any business at all with communist China.
I think that would be going too far. But I think we have to respond much more serious than we are. I mean, up to a point, we have to accept that people can do pretty much, countries can do more or less what they want within their own borders, as long as it's not an atrocity on the Rwanda scale or Kampuchea, you know, Khmer Rouge.
Yeah.
As long as it's not something like that. And the Uyghur thing, as far as I know, is appalling, but it's not actually as bad as that. But the Hong Kong business is something else again. I mean, that is a treaty with the United Kingdom, which is one of the world's most important and respected countries. And the Chinese have just torn it up and thrown it in their faces like confetti. I don't want to make invidious distinctions here, but it would be one thing to tear up a treaty with Myanmar or something. But, you know, Britain is a serious country. It's a nuclear power. It was a co-founder of the United Nations with China and three other countries. And to treat Britain in that way is an indication of just how high-handed and egotistical that regime has become.
And it is a true tragedy what it has happened and is happening to the people of Hong Kong. We're talking to Lord Conrad Black. Follow him, Conrad M. Black, on Twitter, and read his book, A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America, co-host of the podcast Sense and Intelligence. Back to your calls here on America First. Thank you, Lord Black.
Crude and slow, Snowflake. Your attack was no better than that of a clumsy child.
Which is your favorite Shakespeare play? For me, for various reasons to do with the depth of which I had to analyze it at school, it's King Lear. For our engineer, the professor, it is Hamlet. Eric, what's your favorite?
Richard III,
an iconoclastic choice. And Jeff, what's your favorite?
I forget which one I read the Cliff Notes on in middle school, but that would be the one.
That is such, there's Shakespearean and then there's Jeffian. And that is a Jeffian response. And we love him all the more for it. A perfect response. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you love our show as much as we love providing it to you, please continue to support those who make it possible, especially Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape, 10-year guarantee. Just cuddles your cranium through the night. Don't go all Biden. That's just creepy. MyPillow.com. Use my name to get up to 66% off from Mike. You can call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Let's go to Joe, who's been waiting very patiently in California. Joe, line two.
Mr. Gorka, thank you very much for everything that you do, sir.
You're very welcome, Joe. Where are you from, Joe, originally?
Originally, I'm a Mexican-born that loves America, sir.
Oh, we love it. America. We love it. We love it. Why do you... Hey, Joe, in front of my 3 million listeners right now, and all my viewers and Rumble on Facebook, just in a sentence, I'll give you two sentences if you need it, Joe. Why do you love America?
Very simple, sir. There are two nations made in this. One was made by God, Israel, and this was made by man with ideas. It was no accident, and unfortunately, we're trying to kill it. I cannot.
Who's,
it makes me cry.
Who's trying to kill it, Joe?
The left.
Yeah. So why did you call in today? What's your idea?
Sir, they want to put cameras on police officers. Well, they have cameras.
Yes.
Because they want them to be accountable. My idea is let's have every single politician in Washington as well as state level and city level and put body cameras on them. I guarantee you, if we start talking about it, it may take a ball. The ball may roll. And I guarantee you they're going to become 20% more honest.
So hang on. This is fascinating. So you want them... Even when they're doing their dirty deals behind closed doors, they should always be wearing body cams. Is that the idea?
As long as they're on the clock.
I love it. I love it. Or if they don't like body cams, we could have each one would have their own personalized drone, and it would a little thing would follow them with a camera. How about that?
I love it.
You're a genius, Joe. I love it. Stay. Yes. Yes.
Sir, if I may.
Yes.
This critical race theory, I don't see why they're allowing it to go on. It's completely against the Constitution.
It's racist.
If anything in the Constitution, you must not be judged by the color of your skin. And we are teaching white people the worst since they...
It's against the Equal Opportunities Act. It's unconstitutional. It's racist completely. But people are fighting back. Find out more. Watch Newsmax every Sunday night, the Gorka Reality Check. Stay on the line, Joe. Great call. Let's give Joe a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. My Newsmax show is the Gorka Reality Check, 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. Let's go to Sean in New York City, line 4. Welcome, Sean.
Caro signore.
Greetings.
How are you, sir?
Good.
I just wanted to give you the gist of my experience. So you go to the various Starbucks in the metropolitan area, in the tri-state area, and you see the LGBTQ flag up. I've noticed that there's a little twist on it. I think they've added a little sort of V on it for the people of color. And I have no problem with it whatsoever. I love freedom of expression. You're a private corporation. Actually, they're a publicly traded corporation. You can do what you want with your business.
Yes.
So I was just striking up a conversation with the barista today, and I said, you know, I would bet you that when it comes July 4th, that there will not be an American flag in the Starbucks.
And what was the response?
And, you know, this person is listening, and also they're wearing these masks, and the masks have got the LGBTQ flag on it. I said, and I bet you guys won't be wearing, you know, a star-spangled banner on your masks either. So she's listening, and this other person chimes in, was not part of the conversation, a young lady, and she says, well, you know, that's because it represents the oppressed people and this and that. And I said, are you oppressed? And she's pointing to her skin color. She's 19 years old, and she's telling me she's oppressed. I said, I don't see an oppressed person in front of me. How are you oppressed?
She's at Starbucks. She's oppressed, yeah, buying her latte.
Exactly. And so out come the expletives. She starts cursing at me. And I didn't curse back. I just raised my eyebrows. And she said, you know, I can't believe that a grown man is thinking this way. And I said, listen, socialism has been tried and it has failed everywhere
right,
that it
all
has
right,
been
Sean,
tried.
Sean, right? Hold the line. Hold the line. I want to continue this discussion. I have to do a live read because I want to know the end of the story. So stay with me, Sean. Don't go anywhere. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're broadcasting live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
The ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
What's your job, really? I don't care what your day job is. I don't care if you're a plumber or a neurosurgeon. Your real job is to look after your loved ones, to provide for them under any circumstance. And what if you couldn't? What if the food supply was hacked in America? Not just the gas stations with their lines because of that Russian high cyber attack. What if the food chain was hit? The local grocery store has 72 hours worth of food in the back. After that, it's everyone for themselves. Would you be ready? I am. Why? I've gone with the best supplier of long-term storage emergency food in America. They have 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. They're called My Patriot Supply. And right now, you can get $50 off their four-week emergency food kit. It's the minimum you need. I have multiple months' worth, but you've got to have at least a four-week emergency food kit for your family. Get $50 off today. Go to preparewithgorka.com. That's preparewithgorka.com. It is your responsibility. Never let your family go hungry. Preparewithgorka.com. We have with us now a man who really has changed the way we look at history. Why? Because he's telling the truth. He's pushing back on the propagandists. He is the author of the incredible Patriots history of the United States. Larry Schweikert, welcome back to America First.
Hey, Seb. It's great to be here.
So you wanted to come on the show to blow my trumpet. You're doing a series of interviews. Tell our millions of listeners and viewers what Larry's latest project is.
Well, I have a website called The Wild World of History. And we've started up a new feature on our subscription side, the VIP side, called Celebrity Interviews. And Sebastian Gorka is the very first celebrity interview that we will be rolling out. And so we're going to announce a date and have your interview available. We're going to make it free to all your listeners for 48 hours. And then it goes into the VIP subscription bin and you got to pay to get it and all the other stuff. So we want to work out a date that we can get your interview up for 48 hours free to all your listeners and all the Wild World of History subscribers.
All right. Check it out right now. I'm on the page wildworldofhistory.com. So you've already established yourself as the person who's pushing back on the critical theory, the fake Zinn, Anthony Zinn garbage propaganda history books. What is the goal of this new website and what do you want to bring out of these interviews? I had fun, but I don't know who else you're interviewing. So give us the game plan for this
sure.
new platform.
Well, the idea is to talk about something besides history, interesting people in America today, so that if you're on the site and you've been looking at, we have hundreds and hundreds of free historical things on there. And if you're a member of the VIP, you get all sorts of things like the 1620 default, which is my 10 video answer to the 1619 project, or the horrible history of Howard Zinn, which is my 3-video answer to historian Howard Zinn. But we wanted to give people something just a little bit lighter, something a little more current. And so we wanted to start with you and talk politics and talk deep state, talk the Trump administration. But we also have coming up country star Clint Black, an old friend of mine, actor Nick Searcy, novelist Brian Freeman, who's just one of the best novelists of thrillers out there today, a fantastic writer, and rock and roll bassist Rudy Sarzo, who's with Blue Oyster Cult, played with Ozzy, is an emigre, an escapee from Cuba, from Castro's Cuba, and he knows a thing or two about totalitarianism. So those are just a few of the people we'll be having in the celebrity interview series.
Fabulous. And I have to ask you, given, you know, what you've done for this nation with your history books, how significant is it to you as somebody who's been in the trenches for so long? These videos we're seeing every single day of parents and even some teachers, we've had them on the show, pushing back on critical race theory and the Howard Zinnisms of the last few decades. How happy does that make you, Larry?
These are awesome. I mean, and this is grassroots politics. And, of course, the left is trying to say, oh, they're astroturf. No, they're not. They are absolutely spontaneous people showing up because they don't want their kids hearing this garbage where they're all taught to hate their own race. It's just absurd. And so it's wonderful. We have a host here in Phoenix, James T. Harris, who helps organize these things. And he's had Peoria, Scottsdale, and Chandler school board meetings just packed with people because he says, hey, the meeting's tonight and we'll see you out there. It's great.
And the biggest damage done, I'm asking, we don't rehearse these questions, but I'm curious, is it the teacher training colleges or is it individuals like Zinn? Where's the center of gravity for what's been done to the education system, Larry, over the last few decades?
Well, that's a great question. It's clearly the universities. Someone like Zinn would be absolutely irrelevant if there weren't teachers out there having history departments adopt his book.
Yeah.
And here's a little interesting tidbit. Zinn said in his book that in his first 4 years, he had something like first decade, he had something like 300,000 copies and and he went through 25 printings. Well, in Patriots history's first 10 years, we went through over 350,000 sales and about 28 or 29 printings. So until he got in the colleges, we were beating him in terms of popular appeal.
A fabulous, fabulous success. Find out for yourself. If you're looking for that pushback, if you're looking for that anti-CRT, that anti-Howard Zinn, it is A Patriot's History of the United States by Larry Schweikert. Find out so much more at his website. Check out the new interviews, wildworldofhistory.com. That's wildworldofhistory.com. Thank you, Larry. Keep doing what you do. God bless. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Patriot Mobile, the only conservative Christian cell phone company in the United States. And they have demonstrated themselves. They deserve your trust. Why? Because at the end of the month, they donate to causes you believe in. Hundreds of thousands of dollars already donated to organizations that fight for your rights. The Second Amendment, the First Amendment, veterans, and the sanctity of life. They don't fund things like Planned Parenthood, like the other cell phone companies. Go with the good guys. Switch today. Move to Patriot Mobile. You can keep your old phone number. And right now, you'll get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment and also free Premier activation either way. To get all of the initial discounts, join today. Go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Now, more than ever, we've got to stick together and don't fund those who hate your values. 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
It's the question of the day. I've got to ask it, and I'm going to ask it from our favorite sci-fi fan. Mr. G, are you there?
I am.
Is the NFL gay?
First of all, you said that yesterday before the video. That's probably something you would get in trouble for. I don't understand this. The video that you're talking about is the one that they released. It says football is gay.
Yeah, we can't show it because it's just words, right?
Says football is lesbian. I think it throws in trans there. You were kind of asking me on the angle of this. I really have no idea what they're doing.
What is the win here for them?
It's zero win. I don't get it at all because it doesn't even make sense when you think about it. I don't even understand what they're trying to do. With the Pride Month, a lot of the teams, they did go in on Pride Month. They changed a couple of them, changed their logos with the flags. But I don't even know what this is. It's just overkill.
All right, so what is it going to mean when the average football fan sees this ad that says football is gay, is lesbian? Is there going to be a ramification? Is there going to be a blowback?
No.
Why?
Not with the NFL. That's the most popular sport by far. And people are so used to that on Sundays, doing that in the fall. It's almost how everyone's just come accustomed now to Facebook and Twitter. You say you're going to quit it, but you can't really because you're used to it. People that are my age, 38 years old, for 20 years now, you have your team. You always follow them, even though it bothers you. And all my friends said it last year, that they weren't going to watch the NFL. Everybody still ended up watching the NFL.
But look at the NBA. Aren't they hemorrhaging?
Yes. But that's because part of it is because the product's become terrible. That's the one thing that's really hurting is the NBA. Those ratings are way down. 40,
So why does it hurt the NBA but not to be woke but not the NFL?
Because the NFL, I think, is more popular. Plus, it's only 16 games a year.
Right.
It's not an 81-game season like the NBA. But that's why the NFL is kind of sticking around.
So what you're saying is there is no limit to how political football can become in America.
No, look what they've done the last couple years with the kneeing and the national anthem, all the controversy that caused, and they're still doing very well.
That's sad. So there's not going to be a point where people start booing and walking out?
Not unless they get really crazy.
Do we concur, Eric?
I think ultimately, yeah, Jeff's right. There's not going to be a lot of blowback. And I think what's indicative here is you ask, you know, what's the win? I'd argue they've already won. They've already changed the culture so much.
No. What's the win for the NFL? You're talking about the left. I'm asking about the NFL. What accrues to their benefit?
They just gain favor with the dominant culture, I guess.
Yeah, but is it dominant? How many homosexuals are there in America? I mean, it's less than 2%. So what are we talking about? It's insanity. Literally, it's not the tail wagging the dog. It's the flea wagging the tail wagging the dog. Chad, is Jeff right?
It's easier to walk out of baseball and basketball because they've become really boring sports.
Bringing reality. That's why we're here every single day. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.